I've kind of felt the freedom to make crystals weird as possible, which is not very normal for young ladies to be allowed to do on a set. Usually I do one weird take and they're like, great, let's go again and don't make any more faces. And I'm like, uh-huh. I make a lot of faces in this movie.
That was Betty Gilpin talking about her new movie, The Hunt, who you might also recognize her from the television show Glow, which we might talk about a little bit later. Did we talk about Glow last week?
Oh, boy, we did.
Yeah, we sure did. Okay, so we won't talk about Glow, but we'll talk about The Hunt, and we'll talk about Bill McCuddy. A few weeks ago recommended a Netflix series to me called The Stranger, which I watched the first episode with my wife, became completely addicted, and we wound up binge-watching the whole thing in like 2 or 3 days. So we'll talk about that too. And of course, we're going to have a lengthy discussion about how the coronavirus, COVID-19, this pandemic, has affected the entertainment industry in more ways, shapes, and forms than one could possibly imagine, and how it will affect your viewing pleasure. But we're going to start out with something light. I don't know if the movie's light. Bill Bregoli is going to tell us about it. But instead of just harping on the coronavirus, which you see everywhere you turn on the TV, we'll talk about a movie. We'll talk about The Hunt. And Bill McCuddy is joining us as usual remotely. He's keeping his social distance. Say hello, Bill.
Neil, I can't be even 6 feet away from you. I am 75 miles in quarantine in the Hamptons, where all the celebrities are moving from New York City. I'm on my way to Steven Spielberg's house now, but I have to pick up Alec Baldwin Sarah Jessica Parker. So
he's lying.
If I have to jump out, it's because has jumped in the car, but go ahead. Yeah, let's talk about what's happening.
Yes, he's kidding, and I'm joined again by Bill Bregoli.
We're on the Upper East Side, folks, where people are stockpiling nannies.
Yes, and all right, Bill Bregoli, tell us about the movie The Hunt.
All right, well, it's about a bunch of elite people. They're all rich, and they decide to kidnap and drug all these lowlife people, these rednecks mostly. They put them in a plane, they drop them off in the middle of nowhere, they wake up, they're given a few guns to protect themselves, and then they're hunted down.
So it's a game.
It's a game. It's, what was it called, The Deadliest Game? It's a remake of that kind of story. This movie was supposed to come out in September, but there were a couple of mass shootings. Surprise, surprise. And then the president tweeted something about this movie, even though he hadn't seen it.
What did he tweet?
He tweeted that Hollywood was being disgusting and they were making fun of... at one point, the elites, quote-unquote, called the, what was Hillary Clinton's term for the Trump supporters?
A basket of deplorables.
Deplorables, yeah. The elites are hunting deplorables. He didn't like that idea. He thought that they were hunting his voting base. And really, this politically, this film takes no sides at all, actually. And it's it kind of takes pot shots at everybody. And the best part about it is Ms. Gilpin.
She's great in Glow.
She's terrific in this. She makes a lot of faces.
But she's in Glow. She's dressed like an 80s character with the big hair and everything.
Right.
So she's now looks
now
normal.
She's more. Yeah, she affects the southern accent. You find out later in the movie that her character had been to Afghanistan and knew how to protect herself, which is why she's about the only one who survives.
She adopts a southern accent.
She does. And at the very end of the movie, there's a fight between her and Hilary Swank to Beethoven.
Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank is in this movie.
My goodness. Would you recommend the movie?
Well, she had to get work eventually somewhere.
That's right. And I do recommend it. It's actually kind of okay. It's less than 2 hours long. I think it's about 5 minutes under 2 hours. It is extremely violent and gory in the beginning, though. So steel yourself of that. But it's not bad. I think most of the people at the screening I went to, we all came out and said, well, that got to be kind of okay.
So you would recommend the film?
I really would.
Yeah, all right. Well, let me ask you some questions about the movie. You said it's very violent.
Yes.
But is it good character? Are you involved with the characters?
Not that much, to be honest with you. The character,
recommend
it.
More like The Purge, like...
Yeah, you know pretty much that everybody's going to get killed off except one character.
Oh, really?
The fun is to see them get killed off one by one.
So what is it, like 10 little Indians? And
Emma Roberts is in this movie, too. She doesn't last very long.
So why do you know that everybody's going to get killed up? You just kind of like...
You got to know, like, going like, in. Like, it's the genre.
Kind of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Exactly.
Like you know it's going to be down to that one, to Betty right. Gilpin, basically,
yeah,
I'm assuming.
It's going to be down to her and Hilary Swank.
Okay, and...
Apparently this is Neil's first horror movie.
No, I'm saying... No, I'm asking questions regarding the formula. Yeah, so it's formulaic, but it's fun formulaic.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
It's mindless. And,
it's mindless and it's kind of okay.
All right. Now, how many people do you think are going to actually... When does it open?
It opened today.
It opened today. And I'm going to tell you a story about a friend of mine who...
Digression.
Who wanted to go to a movie theater, and he went on like a Fandango or something.
Yeah.
And it said no for the weekend. He was going to buy a ticket. And it said no tickets have been sold. Not no tickets have been sold because they're sold out or they closed the theater. This is nobody bought a ticket yet, you know? So, and it's one of those luxury theaters, you know, where they have the limited seating, but they get the food and the Barca lounger chair and, I don't know, all these other amenities and stuff like that. But, so the movies that are opening this weekend, do you think, and we're going to have a longer discussion about this, but I want to get to The Stranger in a minute first.
Okay.
Do you think that, and I'll ask Bill McCuddy this, do you think that they're going to do any business? Or is it just New York City where it's going to be, what do you think, McCuddy?
Well, what I think is that people are going to consider whether or not they really want to go to a public place to see a film or not. And something like this film doesn't seem like it needs to be enjoyed en masse. So if we're playing our regular game, I'm just going to wait for this to start streaming. I have an interesting theory about what's going to be streaming. We can talk about that a little later in the podcast. I put it up yesterday, and it's now a conversation topic on a couple of websites. But the important thing is, you know, people are really scared in general. So whether or not you go out depends on whether or not you think you need to see a movie with a lot of people.
Okay, well, just table that for a moment. I want to talk about The Stranger, and then the rest of this podcast is going to be devoted to what you can see and what you can see in terms of movies and the impact on the entertainment industry. But before we do that, as I said a few weeks ago, so all right, you've convinced me on The Hunt.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to go out and see it.
Don't go crazy.
But I think that when it does come to streaming or HBO or on demand or something, or if they send me a Blu-ray or whatever the hell it is, I think I will see this because I'm a big fan of Betty Gilpin.
Yeah.
Because you recommended Glow to me, which we talked about the other week, and we loved it. And which brings me to the fact that Bill, a number of weeks ago, was recommending all this stuff, and I was kind of half paying attention, as I ordinarily do. And one of the things that he recommended to me was this television show on Netflix called The Stranger, which is British, and it's 8 episodes. Each episode is a little under an hour, and Bill talked about this, but just to give you a, you know, in case you didn't hear that podcast, just a 1 or 2 sentence synopsis, there is this lady who... is referred to as the stranger, and she shows up into people's lives, and she tells them things like, your wife, I would check the DNA on your children to make sure that they're yours, and, you know, your wife faked a pregnancy, and if you don't believe me, go to this website, check your statement, you'll see that she bought all the, you know, and she goes up to numerous people and completely fucks up their lives by telling them these things. And all the stories, after a number of episodes, sort of kind of like they all have connections with each other. And it's great. It's really, really great. The last episode, I won't give any spoilers, they kind of just wrapped it all up. Like, I guess we got to wrap it all up now. I was looking for more of a satisfying ending. It was okay. And it's based on a book. Maybe the book was shorter. They had to drag this up out into 8 hours. But really, if you stuck around looking for something to watch during coronavirus and you're holed up and this is a very absorbing television show on Netflix, The Stranger. And I thank you, Bill McCuddy, for recommending this.
Well, I got another one for you, but we can talk about The Stranger a little bit if you want to. This is some established British YA author who's had a couple of things adapted for television. And we're watching the next one. It's got a couple other famous people in it. But the thing I want to recommend now, which started out as a Cinemax series in 2012, is also British, and it's called The Hunted. And I highly recommend this. It's kind of like Jason Bourne, or actually more like Jack Bauer, but this is Jacqueline Bauer, because it's a really cute Australian actress who's at the center of MI6 and a competitive branch that works off the grid, and an evil kind of Rupert Murdoch hires her into his household, and that's all I'm going to tell you. It's called The Hunted. I think it's at least as good as anything else I've recommended, and so if you're home this weekend, give it a shot.
And it's Amazon.
Yes, it's on Amazon.
Well, it's interesting. There's The Hunt, which Bill Bregoli just spoke about extensively. There's The Hunted, which you're talking about. And then there's also an Al Pacino series where he chases Nazis, which none of us have seen yet, but we will talk about that.
Actually, I have seen the first hour of that, and I can't recommend it. But
and that's
ahead.
Called The Hunters, right?
Right.
The
Hunters. I think it's just Hunters.
I think it's The Hunters.
But it doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, anyway, you tell us about the first hour of that.
Well, it's interesting only because of Pacino. Who
You're right, by the way. It's called Hunters. I'm sorry. I checked it. You're right, Hunters.
Sure.
Go on.
Yeah. Wish I could act surprised. It's like, it's interesting because of Pacino, who's doing basically a little over-the-top acting, not quite as bad as
The Irishman?
The most recent, The Irishman, and it's certainly a lot shorter. But, well, actually, I guess it's not. It's 8 episodes. But it has a young man who stars in it. He's trying to find out. It's about Nazi hunting, and it does some flashbacks into some very uncomfortable scenes in some of the camps that sort of take you out of it. And I can't really recommend. I didn't stay with it for the first hour, for example. And Mrs. McCutty turned to each other and said, "We don't need this." And so we bailed on it. Now, some people have said more enthusiastic things about it, and it might be one of those series that needs a 2 or 3 episode sampling, but the 40 or 45 minutes I saw didn't encourage me to stay with it.
Yeah, I heard they also factually they have like a human chess game and things that just didn't really happen, and they make
One of the things that I did see, and it's kind of
disturbing and wrong. So okay, all right, well, maybe I'll look at my wife wants to see it, so maybe we'll look at it and talk about that more down the line. So, okay, so to recap before we get into this huge coronavirus and how it's impacted the entertainment industry, which is going to take up the bulk of the rest of this podcast. The Hunt, if you want to brave and go into a movie theater, go ahead. But I guess we're saying, Bill Bregoli's saying, wait until it comes out on demand. See The Stranger if you're holed up on coronavirus. Bill McCutty and I highly recommend it. And The Hunted is a series on Amazon that Bill McCutty is recommending, and since I loved his last recommendation so much, and Bill Bregoli sent me a recommendation on a trailer of something the other day.
You'll watch it eventually, don't worry.
I will watch that eventually, and we'll talk about that. All right, so I read in the paper today, they had a whole list of all the stuff that's it is remarkable. First of all, anybody that's a regular listener to this podcast knows how much I watch and really enjoy late night television: Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, Trevor Noah, Bill Maher, John Oliver, on and on and on. So all of these shows made it. This thing is changing so rapidly. We're taping this. We're recording this on a Friday,
the 13th.
Yeah, these things are changing so rapidly that first they would say nothing. Then they said, "Okay, we're going to do these talk shows without audiences." And actually, if you watched Colbert last night, and he did it without an audience, and so did Jimmy Fallon.
This is rehearsal too.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon did it without an audience, and I kind of liked it. It was kind of like when Letterman, during a snowstorm or something, did a show without an audience, and the staff was sitting in the audience, and it's just kind of, I always find Jimmy Fallon to be so fawning to the audience, and it's just disgusting. But there was no audience to fawn over. And he was just reading jokes and just kind of going, all right, and whatever that guy in The Roots is, the guy with the big afro who plays the drums, what's his name?
Questlove.
Yeah, Questlove. He's like laughing. It was like almost like watching a Soupy Sales show. I'm dating myself, but or even a Howard Stern broadcast where like the crew is laughing. You don't have an audience laughing. It's just kind of like the crew is laughing. I found it interesting. But then today they came out and they said all the shows are now canceled until further notice. So they're not going to do a Colbert show, and they're not going to do a Seth Meyers show, and they're not going to do a Jimmy Fallon show. I think Jimmy Kimmel on the West Coast, they said they're going to do those without audiences. Somehow last night he had Pete Buttigieg as a guest host. God knows why. And by the way, if you're interested, here's a tip. Seth Meyers, A Closer Look. They didn't air it on TV last night, but you could go on YouTube. He did a special thing just for YouTube where he discusses the fact that his show is no longer going to be on the air until this thing is... So that's gone. So there's no more late night talk shows, or maybe the ones out of LA without an audience. Maybe. We don't know.
Well, let me tell you the God knows why about Kimmel. He's been tapped to host a celebrity version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which, as we are talking now, is still supposed to happen, but those tapings were supposed to be in front of a live audience. So I'm not sure, not 100% sure, and again, you were wise to point out when we're recording this, because breaking news will change everything.
Everything.
But Kimmel had been asked to do what Regis had done, but with famous people for charity, and they were going to do, an 8-night or 10-night special run of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and Kimmel was the host. So I got to tell you two things. First of all, I don't think these guys are comfortable working without a goosed, and when I say goosed, I mean artificially imbibed, not alcohol imbibed, but artificially jacked up audiences, because you and I, and everybody listening to this knows, some of the jokes that are done
enhanced
in those monologues are not great, and they do get sweetened a little. And I'll tell you one kind of cool, creepy thing I learned this week. Most of the canned laughter that you hear on television was all recorded in the 1950s. So you're listening to people who are basically dead laughing.
I don't think that's true anymore. I think that's true if you were watching a sitcom like Get Smart or a sitcom from the 60s.
No, the Get Smart didn't have a laugh track. The thing,
it did.
There was no reason to, what I read was there was no reason to ever change it. There was no reason to get newer laugh tracks, so they've been using the same ones for ever since I Love Lucy. So, whatever. I mean, the point is, these guys have decided to take a few weeks off, and who can blame them? But, I think the first guy back will be considered a hero, just the way after 9/11, it was brave for those people to come back. Although, as Howard Stern pointed out the other day, after 9/11, they were live all the way up until Jon Stewart came back, and it was such a big deal. So,
no, Letterman was the first guy, I think, to come back.
Correct. So, Stern would tell you that he never left, and nobody ever made a point of that. So I think that these guys have a crutch when it comes to studio audiences, and they like having them. On a different kind of show that's also doing the same no audience thing is Live with Kelly and Ryan in the mornings. But I just learned that Gelman, the guy who produces that, went on vacation yesterday. So it's likely that they're probably going to go into hiatus as well. Look, we live in a strange world where everything is changing day to day, and the only template we have is what happened after 9/11. And we know eventually, even though they said comedy was dead, that didn't happen. We got back to normal after a certain amount of time, and that's obviously what's going to happen here. We just don't know when and how.
Well, let me tell you my personal experience. I was working at the CBS Broadcast Center last Wednesday night when word came out that two news producers at CBS News had been tested positive for the virus.
Aye.
And they sent everybody home except me and a few others because we had a game to put on the air that night. And we were told, don't come back until they finish cleaning the building. And
this was
Wednesday night. It's Friday. I haven't worked since. And because the NCAA has canceled a lot of the games, which my company works on or has the rights to, I may be laid off when I come back.
You guys also have the Masters, which makes no sense to me why that got canceled, because the golfers don't need a gallery, and that's a huge cash cow for CBS.
So yeah.
I was stunned that that got canceled. I don't know where this is going to stop.
Well, do you think this is an overreaction in lieu of a better term? Do you think this is an overreaction? I mean, they canceled the NBA. And of course, if they're canceling the NBA, NHL, hockey cancels, and then the Major League Soccer cancels, and then Major League Baseball cancels all their spring training games. Then they postpone the beginning of the baseball season for at least the first 2 weeks of the season, probably maybe longer, but they said for now, you know, we'll take it day by day, but we're canceling the first 2 weeks of the season. Then Tribeca Film Festival has been canceled. The Metropolitan
Museum, which is crazy. When's the Tribeca Film Festival? The end of April?
No, it's...
We don't know anything.
April 15th. April 15th.
Okay.
So 4 weeks
from now. A month from now.
Well, yeah, if you read the press release, it says that, you know, we want everybody to be safe and following Governor Cuomo's mandate that no gatherings of more than 500 people, you know, look, you can't cancel the Tribeca Film Festival.
They postponed it, didn't they?
They postponed it. They postponed it. But you can't do that, Bill McCuddy, the a week before. Plus, having covered that festival forever, what happens is, you know, they have the international categories also, where people fly in from, you know, I have a film from Uzbekistan, I have a film from Brazil, you know, they have all these international filmmakers that are coming in with their films and their entourages. So it's not even just a self-contained thing, although New York is no big, you know, safe haven these days either. Look, people, we're talking about the Olympics and whether or not the Olympics are going to be played without spectators, be played or be postponed. The thing about the Olympics is you can postpone it a year since it's every 4 years. It's not like, well, what do we do about next year's Olympics? You could postpone it for a year. But the Olympics, I mean... Do you play, it's going to be in July, right? So, or the end of July. So do you do that now? You know, like, do you postpone? I mean, you got to give people notice on this kind of thing. I mean, when do you pull the trigger on something like that?
Yeah, those athletes buy those Super Saver tickets and they don't want to be left holding the bag there. No, I don't think you cancel things like that now. And when you say they can postpone it a year, those athletes time their, working out in their schedule and to be at their peak performance in July, not a year from July. I don't know when we're going to get back to normal. I think, the most interesting example to me of how this all started in terms of the movie business is that last Sunday night in Manhattan, they had a big splashy premiere for the new John Krasinski film that was supposed to open today with his wife, Emily Blunt, called A Quiet Place 2.
Canceled.
The word on the street came out that movie is at least as good, or it might be the Godfather 2 of Quiet Place movies. It might be actually better than, but at least as good as the original. And all of a sudden, we got a tweet a few days ago from John saying, you know what? I've talked to the studio. This is a movie I just saw at the premiere with a ton of people. I really want people to be able to enjoy this in a theater with other people. And so we're going to cancel it at this point, or we're going to postpone it at this point. All of which led me the day before yesterday to hypothesize that if, and I think we talked about this on the podcast a few weeks ago, but I advanced it as something that I think really is going to happen. And here it goes. I think somebody like Amazon that has the ability to sell you a movie individually without you subscribing to it like Netflix.
Well, you were quoted.
You
were quoted.
Is going to get approached or will approach some of the major studios and say to them, look, there's no reason why you can't release movies now. You just can't release them in a movie theater. We can charge $50 a household and we can release Quiet Place 2 next week online. It'll not only be a huge, huge success, bigger than anything would have been otherwise, but I think we'll look back on this 10 years from now and realize this was the turning point and the death knell for a lot of, and this is that takes my theory to the next level, and I could be wrong about that part, but I think that this could be the time we look back and go, that's the beginning of the end for movie theaters. I hope I'm wrong about that part, but I'll bet I'm right about the first part. I bet the studios are scrambling right now to get a business model and somebody that has the ability for them to make money off these films starting next week.
Well, I think that people want to return to normal. And when we do return to normal, whenever that is, look, some of these movie theaters, which are dying on the vine anyway, financially, might not be able to recover. Excuse me. Might not be able.
Oh, Bill! Bill, get out of that room now! Bill, run!
Sorry, he coughed into his elbow.
a lot of these movie theaters might not be able to recover financially. I mean, you know, let's look at Broadway. So Broadway is shut down, and what I read about Broadway is that there's a Tracy Letts play. I forgot the name of it. The Minutes, maybe, or something? I don't know. There's a new Tracy Letts play that was supposed to open this Sunday on Broadway. Broadway is completely shut down. So
explain to people who Tracy Letts is besides an actor.
Well, he's
also Osage County, some of the other things he's written.
Well,
anyway, he's a big playwright. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, so go ahead.
He's a playwright, and they say that his show will not be able to recover from, you know, like, they've spent all the advertising. It's all done. It's the same thing with A Quiet Place. One of our colleagues tweeted that A Quiet Place, they've spent all the money, you know, Krasinski and Emily Blunt, they've all done the talk shows. They spent this amazing amount of money promoting the film, which was supposed to open.
Hey, look at the Bond movie. They were promoting the hell out of that.
Right, and Daniel Craig hosted SNL, and they even showed the trailer, but it's not coming till Thanksgiving. So anyway, back to Broadway, they said that, you know, so the Tracy Letts play, they said, let's say Broadway comes back up and running in a few months. Tracy Letts play, the funding, it's over. They can't make it. Phantom of the Opera, which is the longest running play currently on Broadway, they said their majority of their business comes from tourists, which makes sense because, you know, if you're living in New York, it's been on for 30 years or whatever it is. I'm sure you've seen the show already. So they said that show's probably never going to come back.
Really?
So the impact of this is...
There's also a revival of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. That's supposed to, with Laurie Metcalf and Rupert Everett, that's supposed to be amazing, the best one in a long time. And that was in previews until like 2 days ago. And that looks like to be dead on arrival now.
Well, they also have, these actors have commitments. I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick were supposed to do Plaza Suite, the revival of the Neil Simon.
Yeah, well, that seems like a mercy killing in that case.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know... Well, I don't know. I would say they could have commitments to do something else, but I don't know. They've shut down production on things. Fast and Furious has shut down,
the new Mission Impossible movie. Has been shut down. That was supposed to film in Venice.
Well, they killed Mulan. Disney's also...
pushed it back.
They've also... Black Widow is supposed to be on... It's still on for May 1st, but they say that they might push that back. We talked about the Bond film, which was the first one of the ones that pushed it back. Then there's all these television shows. I mean, there's all these movies that are in production that they've just, like, halted the production on. That Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon movie, television series, which is terrible, on Apple, the Newsroom, I think.
Morning Show?
The Morning Show, I'm sorry. That ceased production. Gracie and Frankie has ceased
production.
That's
another mercy killing. That show's a piece of shit. Answer my question. Now, so let me ask the question a different way. What's going to happen the first weekend after the government says there's no more threat? All of these big budget movies are going to be jockeying to get back into theaters, and they're not going to all want to compete with one another. So, again, I ask, don't you think it's likely that some kind of streaming service will come along very, very soon, like in the next week or so, and announce that they're going to have these films available at a bigger ticket price, and that families, and ironically, they won't be able to get, then this is another thing that the studios will love, they won't be able to get 100 people into their house to pay the $50 and watch this Bond film. They'll have to buy it in their own house and feel safe about that. I'm telling you, this could be a huge boon for Hollywood out of nowhere. Out of misery will come huge profits for the theater chain, or I'm sorry, for the movie production company and movie studio that decides for whatever amount of money, maybe it'll be $100. Who knows what people would pay that they'll be able to watch A Quiet Place 2, for example.
In my neighborhood, they'll just watch the bootleg version.
Oh.
Yeah, but there's no place to go bootleg it.
True, but you can bootleg it off. Somebody can buy it, record it, and sell it.
Right, that's true.
There's going to be a piracy concern.
But they can record it if it's not in the theaters.
Sure, they can record off their TV when they stream it.
Oh, oh.
No, he's saying if they do my streaming plan, then people can shoot that off. Yeah, that's true.
But that was always the case. Well, yeah, I guess easier to do it than bringing the camera into the into the movie
theater.
Enjoy
it at home.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And then people
kids
down.
Don't try this at home.
To shoot your plan down a little bit. I don't know how people do this because I'm not that technically proficient. But you always see on YouTube the way people, like, you know, excerpt funny scenes from sitcoms and movies that are out on, you know, they know how to do that. So it might not even be shooting the camera at the television. There might be a way to just record the thing and have it go
on a DVR.
Yeah, I mean, but YouTube generally takes those things down. I mean, you see that.
But somebody could burn DVDs.
I'm sure they could very quickly figure out a way to put Neil Rosen's name in the upper right hand corner when he buys Quiet Place 2, and then that couldn't be pirated.
Funny.
Then they'll be pirating Neil's show too.
Well,
selling it on street corners.
Yeah. Well, they'll have the. So who has DVDs anymore, though? I mean, like you said, they'll sell DVDs.
Oh, they still, believe me, there's a Chinese woman who comes to my pub all the time selling CD, DVD, CD, DVD.
I know her.
Everybody
hey,
knows
Neil, her. Neil, you haven't mentioned the most important thing. Have the Emmys been canceled in New York?
I don't know. I can't imagine that happening. It's April 18th. What did you say before about Tribeca? When is that? I can't believe they're canceling it already. That's April 15th.
You said April 15th. Yeah.
Right. So April 18th of the Emmys. I mean, are they going to postpone the Emmys, or are they going to just say, like, send you a little notice and saying, by the way, congratulations, you've won an Emmy, or you didn't win, and we'll mail you your statuette? I mean, is that what's going to happen, or are they going to postpone
them? I don't think we're going to get that note, but yeah,
postpone or
curious.
Well, what do you think they postpone it? What do you think they cancel it, and just?
I think the longer it's postponed, the longer we can say we're Emmy nominated instead of Emmy losers.
Good idea.
So listen to these other TV shows that have ceased production. Gracie and Frankie.
Well, you mentioned Saturday Night Live a moment ago. They haven't said anything as we're recording this.
I didn't mention Saturday Night.
That Daniel Craig hosted it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You've forgotten your own words from earlier. Did you take the medicine yet today? Anyway, the point is, Lauren hasn't decided. They're obviously not going to perform that show in front of nobody.
No, well, obviously, if they decided to cancel the talk shows and not perform without an audience, even though, as I said earlier, I found it interesting to watch that. No, they're not going to. But here's an idea. What do you think of this idea? Okay, let's just take The Daily Show as an example. So The Daily Show, Trevor Noah comes out and says, okay, we're not going to be performing in front of an audience anymore. Okay, but to make it seem as real as possible to you, we're going to just do cutaways of, you know, like, we'll put a laugh track in and we'll do cutaways of, like, audiences from previous shows and stuff like that. If I say, you know...
Do they even do cutaways?
Once in a while.
Really?
When he comes out, you know, they say, you know, they could...
Like John Oliver, you never see his audience.
No. But you could...
You could do that.
You could keep the same format of The Daily Show and, you know, basically cut in old footage of other episodes clapping and laugh, you know, whatever, and you wouldn't
Boy,
know...
Boy, I don't know who's listening to this, but they should bake a cake right now because of all the stupid ideas you've ever had... This one absolutely takes the cake. You're telling me that you would put reactions of people laughing to things into a show that has no audience. Is that your proposal?
What I'm telling you is that in the 60s and the 50s and the 70s, well, they started filming in front of a live audience in the 70s, but in the 50s and the 60s, all those sitcoms, Hogan's Heroes, you know, I Dream a Genie, on and
all
on and
roasts,
on.
All the roasts were done that way, but come on, that's not going to play. That's ridiculous. I think
Burns and Allen, they were all played without audiences.
They'd rather do it without an audience than cut a fake audience in.
All right, so anyway, what I was going to say to you is the following shows have ceased production. So you will not see in the fall, like even if this is blown over in the fall, you will not see new episodes immediately in the fall of Grace and Frankie, Grey's Anatomy, Riverdale, you know, on, as I said, The Morning Show, Survivor, The Bachelorette, Jeopardy is going to film it without, Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune and Card Sharks are going to continue to make episodes without audiences.
Yeah, but they stopped for 2 weeks, at least Wheel of Fortune did. I'll tell you what I would do if I were Lorne Michaels in the case of Saturday Night Live. They're not obviously going to be able to do shows, but I would, over the next 3 or 4 weeks, I would run the shows that they ran after 9/11, the 3 or 4 weeks after 9/11, just to prove and remind people that after tragedy, that it was okay to laugh again. And I think those would get huge ratings.
That would probably work for Saturday Night Live. I don't think it would work for the talk shows, you know? like Letterman's first appearance back after 9/11. But I don't know. It's a one-off, though. You know, Bill, it would be like, we'll show you an episode, and then it wouldn't be like, I don't know. But, I mean, it's affected everything, as I said, like sporting events and Broadway and movies and...
And me having no desire to be in the same room with you two.
And what about, I guess these streaming services, I guess that's the stocks to buy right now, you know, despite the market tanking. I think that these things are the things that are going to be like off the charts, very successful.
Well, since we've just turned into a stock advisory podcast, I think the easiest play in that category is Amazon, because not only do they bring you entertainment, but they bring you clothing and food. And I think that's going to be the next big thing.
That's true. Well, we'll see how long this lasts. What do you anticipate? Any predictions on what? I mean, they've closed almost everything already. Any other ideas on what's next in terms of closures? Or do we now have they closed everything and now we move into the alternate of like, how can we make this better in terms of bringing you the entertainment? I mean, who's going to a movie theater? Or you think there's many people going to movie theaters? There are movies that are opening. Do you think there'll be many people in those theaters?
Well, since the government doesn't want a congregation of more than 500 people, I think we're going to see a lot of Rob Schneider movies released.
That's funny. So
I am funny. Listen, I'm pulling into Spielberg's. You hear the beeping now? He's
calling.
I'm pulling into Spielberg's yard now. Those guard dogs are friendly, so they don't be afraid when you hear the barking. But I'm gonna jump off now. Everybody, stay clean. Don't work blue. And we will talk again next week.
We'll talk to you next week. What do we have next week, Bill?
Actually, nothing. I was just looking.
There's nothing opening.
There's nothing opening. Nothing wide.
Well,
so we'll
if
find
you're
out.
Stuck in the house, our Emmy-winning television show, Talking Pictures, with Neil Rosen, which aired the last week on PBS and the week before on CUNY, is being rerun this weekend on CUNY. Check your time and listings. And it's also, check my Twitter feed, at Neil Rosen Apples. I've posted the link, or you can Google Talking Pictures with Neil Rosen. And you can reach me on Twitter at Neil Rosen Apples. You can reach Bill McCuddy at Bill McCuddy. And you can reach Bill Bregoli on Instagram.
That's
at
right.
Bill Bregoli. And as Bill McCuddy always says, we watch the movies, the bad movies, so you don't have to. And as I always say, thanks for sitting around talking pictures with us. We'll sit around talking pictures again with you next week.